Lord bless you. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, please. I want to begin at verse number 8 through verse 13, and then we'll drop down to verse 17. I really had intended earlier to minister out of the book of Matthew. In fact, I'd like to minister on this one about 2 hours and then take up the other one about an hour. Maybe next week. I love Matthew. I love the four gospels, don't you? I love reading about where Jesus said, go catch a fish. And there's a gold coin in the fish's mouth. And, you know, he just do what he tells you to do. That's basically what it's all about, folks. And when the disciples asked why they couldn't cast out a demon, he said, well, it's your faith. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, the Lord did draw my attention today to come to this area of Romans chapter 10, verse number 8 through 13, and we'll drop down to verse 17. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Isn't that an amazing statement? For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Every believer should have two central focuses in your life. One is to share what you've got. To share the message and the love of Jesus to those that are around you. And the other is to grow, to continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord himself. There's nothing more important than those two things. And Peter's first message never changes. You remember what he said in Acts 2, verse 36? He said, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And then Paul gave a summary of lordship in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. Says, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to make a simple study this evening, and the message of lordship, that's the title of my subject. We're just going to talk about lordship. I'll tell you where we're going to go in just a moment. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for accepting us as we were, as we are. The work of salvation is your work. We couldn't make a contribution. You called us, you saved us, you provided redemption for us, and you brought us into your life, and you're showing us your heart and your ways. Help me, Father, to minister as I should this evening, that it will become encouragement and strengthening to all who are hearing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're interested in taking notes, this is where we're going to go, the three areas. I want to talk to you, first of all, the message of lordship. And secondly, the ministry of lordship. And thirdly, the mystery of lordship. So we have these three areas, the message, the ministry, and the mystery. Let's begin with the mystery of lordship. Look at verse number 9 of Romans 10 once again, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul said that we are preaching the message of lordship. And he said that when you believe that message, then salvation is very near to you. How near is that salvation to you? It's only a breath away. Verse number 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. That is the word of confession. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. The word of faith is the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. So you don't have to wait for Christ to come down. You don't have to wait for some strange feeling. You don't have to wait till you get good enough. You don't have to wait till you find the right denomination. Jesus actually comes to us in the message of the kingdom of God that he is Lord. That's how he comes to us, the message. And this is the mystery of preaching. If you go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Then if you look at the very next chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 2, Paul said, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now when Paul talks about Jesus Christ crucified, he's talking about a full embodied message of the cross, the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, glorification, and lordship of Jesus Christ. He said, "I don't have any other message." And the issue is that the message of the cross doesn't leave Jesus on the cross. It is actually a divine proclamation from the King of Glory, from the Father himself concerning his Son. And it has the power in it. The message carries in it the power to set men free. Romans 1:16. I'm going to take you to these scriptures. Some of them we all quote and know them well, but just listen to how they're written. Romans 1:16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It came first to the covenant people, and then it goes out into the Gentiles or to the nations of the world. So it has the power in it to set men free. Now, I've shared this. You older times have heard me share this more than once, and Nathan will well remember it. But the Holy Spirit gives you something to say as a gospel minister when you pray and ask, not only the message to be preached, but what's to be spoken at a particular time. And he does it for all of it, not just the preacher, but he does it for all of God's children. But I will remember in one particular case when we were in Honduras, Nathan was interpreting for me. We were in this church and it was absolutely packed. I mean, when I say packed, it was packed. Men were sitting in the windows. The door, the double doors that come into church were just flocked with the men. Women and children were sitting all around. And the Lord told me what to tell the people. I had my message already prepared, but I wanted to know what he wanted me to say in addressing the first thing he wanted to come out of my mouth. And this is what he told me. He said, "Tell them that you come not as an ambassador from the United States, but as an ambassador from the kingdom of heaven, and that you have a message from the King." And when I said that, and Nathan interpreted that in Spanish, it was like a divine, holy calm came over that whole setting of people. Everybody got real quiet. Why? Because the King has sent a message. The King of Glory has sent a message. And they wanted to hear that message. And I was able to proclaim the message of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget that night. Because at the end of that night, I saw an old Indian stand up from the back of the congregation and begin walking down to the front. He was coming down to meet the King of Glory and to give his life to the Lord. That has been imprinted in my heart and in my mind. I have a lot of imprints like that. You do too, but as a minister, whether you're on the mission field or whether you're preaching in the, whatever it may be, there's things that it's like there's scenes that God puts upon your mind that you never forget. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. I've determined to know nothing among you. That is, I don't have another message. I need to bring, if I'm going to bring the power of the kingdom of heaven, I need to bring the message of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what makes the message holy, and this is what makes it powerful, because it is the Lordship message. Let me give you another example where the Lord is in the message, and you're familiar with it, but if you go back to Luke 24, and you know the story so well, but it doesn't change because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here's two disciples after the crucifixion and knew Jesus had died. They're walking the road Emmaus. And I just want to pick up what's happening here because this is what happens. Something like this is what happens in the preaching, the declaration of the gospel of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Just listen to some of this. Verse 24. These are two that are talking. Jesus began walking with them, but he doesn't allow them to recognize him. This is the conversation. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses, see Moses begins with the book of Genesis, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And as they approached the village where they were going, he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? That is the commission of a gospel minister, is to explain the scriptures concerning the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the message of his Lordship all through the Bible. It's an awesome. So what is the basis of our salvation? If you come back to Romans 10, once again, verse number 9, the basis of our salvation. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I don't see any ifs, ands, or buts in that whatsoever. He said, you will be. You will be saved. You see, I guess what I'm trying to tell you, we need to see the danger of basing our salvation on an emotional workup, on some kind of denominational affiliation, or keeping some kind of rules. Christ comes to us in the message of his Lordship. And that's where verse 17 comes in. If you listen to verse 17, it says, so faith, this is the faith of salvation, or the faith for anything, but let's believe it in the salvation realm. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I know you've heard the explanation for the Greek word for word. Rhema means a living voice. And so faith comes from hearing Christ speak to my heart in the message of salvation, in the message of His Lordship, a living voice, an utterance. And while you're listening, and I have seen it so often as an evangelist and mission trips and in a congregation where I've pastored over the years, different churches, you can almost see the Holy Spirit opening hearts of people as you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I love, not only do I love Jesus, I love to talk about Him and I love to preach Him. There is no other message. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And what is that? That is to call upon Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Let's come to the second area now and talk about the ministry of Lordship. Listen carefully once again to Romans 10, verse number 11. And when I talk about the ministry, I'm talking about the result of Lordship. Listen to verse 11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Woo-hoo, glory to God. I want to stop right now. We need to understand what believing means. Pistuo. It's something you do with your heart. It means to adhere to. It means to trust in. It means to cleave to. If something happens in your heart and you find yourself cleaving to the man of the message, to the man called Wonderful, that's what believing. In the Bible, to believe in the Lord means that you take Him to your heart as Lord. And the ministry of this, or the result of this, is that you actually become a fully born child, son, and daughter of the living God. Golly, this is wonderful, folks. The ministry, the result, is that you become a child of God. Go to John chapter 1. Very simple message, folks. But something that needs to be said often to us. We need to be reminded of John chapter 1, verse number 12 and 13. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, that word received, an interesting word in Greek, I mean you take to yourself, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, that is the authority, to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. When it says believe in His name, not just talking about His name Jesus, believe in who He is and what He came to accomplish, His authority. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now go to John 3, and you're quite familiar with Jesus and Nicodemus, but just a little bit of this one. Look at verse number 6, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about an overshadowing. What happens when someone actually entered into the kingdom of God, when they're born again, there's an overshadowing of our heart. He explains it this way, though. If you're looking at John 3, verse number 6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit, is your human spirit. Now, when Jesus said that, I don't want to take you through a whole lot of scriptures, but He's reflecting on Ezekiel 36, where God said, I'm going to put a new spirit, give you a new heart, put my spirit within you. And Nicodemus should have recognized where he was coming from on that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born from above. That's what the Greek means. Be born again, or born from above. The wind blows, and he talks about it being a mystery. This is a mystery, powerful operation of the Holy Spirit that takes place in the quietness of your own heart. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. It is a secret. It's like the secret David talked about. God wove me in secret in my mother's womb. Well, it's a secret. It's a mystery of the Spirit. But that's a result of... And of course, we always come to the big question, because I can preach all about this. We can still have a big question in my mind. Well, why? What's the issue? What's the principle? Why do I need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Why do I need to acknowledge Him? There's a reason for that, folks. A lot of people, if you're not careful, will not understand. There's already a Lord in this world. You ever read the book, This Present Darkness? You heard of This Present Darkness? Satan is called the God of this world. He is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. When Adam took Satan's word over God's word, he moved into a realm of darkness, and Satan actually became, Lucifer actually became the Lord of this world. I don't mean Lord in the sense of saving. I'm talking about Lord as the master. You know, people that don't know Jesus, they don't really know that they've already got a God. They would maybe never acknowledge it. They may call themselves atheists. That's immaterial to the question. There's already a spirit at work in this world, and they're under the dominion and power of that spirit. And the only way they can transfer out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son is to believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess Him, that is, call upon Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior. And when that happens, there is an awesome, powerful exchange of lordship. Not only you become a child of the living God, but you're transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. This is why Satan fights the gospel message so much. I need to show you some things here. If you go to Galatians 1:14, I'm just going to emphasize, kind of read some scriptures, and I don't need to interpret them. I think it's Colossians 1:14. I put Galatians down here, but I think it's Colossians that I want you to go to. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12 and 13 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He qualifies us through the cross. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness. That word domain speaks of the authority or the realm or the jurisdiction of Satan's kingdom. He rescued us. From the domain or the authority of Satan or the authority of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And I don't need to take that any further. If you go to 2 Corinthians, and you'll see how Satan fights against this so much. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3 and 4, Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world had blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. There's so many other places I'd like you to see, but what I want you to understand is that Satan is the god of this world that is outside of Christ, but the cross, the message of the cross changed everything, where every person on this planet has the right and needs to hear the message of lordship of Jesus, and they have the right to confess Him, to acknowledge Him, to receive Him as their own Lord. And this is why we have to be careful that we don't add things to the gospel message. All kind of addendums and all kind of this and all kind of rules. Don't add anything to the gospel message. Preach Jesus Christ and let God take care of the results. And the moment it enters a person's heart, God opens their heart to believe. And Satan hates that. He's not worried about our religions. He's worried about that message going past all these curtains on the earth that he's managed to stretch out, the bamboo curtain and the iron curtain, curtain of Islam and all these places to keep people away from the gospel, because he knows the power of that message. He knows that the only thing a person has to do to be saved is to acknowledge and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe that message, that he died for their sins, resurrected, ascended, and it's now glorified, and he is the Lord of all. And that, the moment that person becomes a child of God, Satan loses authority over that person. This is why Paul said, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. How many folks believed in Jesus? Whoever believes in him, it can all be translated, shall not be put to shame. According to Old Testament scripture. Whoever believes in him will not be ashamed, will not be put to shame, will not be disappointed. Because something is actualized in your heart and in your life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Now all these things are of God. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry. This is the gospel ministry called the ministry of reconciliation, which means Father loves you. Come home. He made a way for you to come home. You lost children of Adam. You need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. God made a way for you to come home. Don't listen to all the extra things because you can't save yourself. You can't get good enough. You can't clean yourself up. We're sinners lost. We need a Savior. We need an everyday Savior. But we need an eternal Savior. We need one that will save us today and save us tomorrow and save us eternally. That's the kind of Savior that he is. And he saves you by making you one of the Father's own children. And he'll always treat you as a child of God, even when he needs to correct us. That's why Satan fights so hard. What is he fighting against? He's fighting against the transfers. See, that's really what an evangelist, an evangelist only has one message. He may preach it 100 different ways, but he better always preach the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Golly. Talking about imprints, and I've shared this 100 times, but I just can't help it. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Another one that you've heard me talk about, we were in Belize, in the mountains of Belize. Had my family and Russell Cobbs. Oh, Russell Cobbs was missionary there then. You're talking about witchcraft, demon operations. They worship all kinds of things. We were walking down a path, and our team was with us. And y'all heard me talk about this, but an old Indian came. We were going down the path, and he was fixing to cross the path, and he had a lot of wood on his back. He was bent over an old man. He stopped. He's very much a gentleman. Stopped to let us pass, and I stopped. And I said one thing. Sabe su que Cristo te ama? You know what I said to him? Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you? And that old Indian started crying. I didn't know what to do. I'd run out of Spanish just about. I mean, I could talk about tacos and tamales and, you know, I could get myself something to eat. It shocked me because the Indians are stoic people. You know, they don't really show a whole lot of emotions. You know, I can speak. I slaughter Spanish folk, but I can make my way if I have to. I'll never forget that. All I said to him. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you? I don't know what was going on in that man's life. No telling what kind of terrible things had already happened to him. No telling what was in his memory. No, you just don't know. And he needed to hear a message from heaven that no matter how bad you have been, and no matter what your life has been, there's somebody that loves you. There's somebody that loves you and sent his son to die in your place. And he's sending a message to you, come on home. You got a place at the Father's table. Thank you, Jesus. This is why Satan hates missionaries, gospel preacher, hates you. Because you can penetrate his kingdom. with the message of Jesus Christ. The last area. Here's the mystery of lordship, and I'm going to move away from Romans 10 just for a little bit. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 8. And where the apostolic writer actually is quoting from Jeremiah. I'm going to break in on just a little bit of it. Verse number 10 through verse number 12. And we're talking about the mystery of lordship. Verse 10, 11, and 12. I want you to listen with your heart, because that's how you receive Jesus. Listen with your heart. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws, or my ways, I put my laws into their minds. I'm going to be involved in their thought life. And I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen. This is all the born-again community of Christ. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, "Nay, know the Lord." For all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. I will be very close to my people. I will be in their thoughts. I will be in their hearts. I will be in each one of my people as though that was the only place that I was at as far as they're concerned. And the very least one is going to know me personally, all the way up to the greatest of the Billy Grahams. They're all going to know me, from the least to the greatest one. I'm going to teach them how to trust me, and I'm going to be merciful to their stumblings, and I will not remember their sins anymore. Now, boy, that's the kingdom of the beloved Son. He took our sins, the total of our life, and exchanged His life for our life. You know, what is it the Lord wants His people to understand? He wants us to understand that He is an ever-present Lord. He's ever, ever present in the good times and in the bad times. When you feel like you're alone, or you've messed up, and you don't feel like God wants anything else to do with you, I'm telling you, brother, sister, He is there, and He's always going to be there, and He's never going to leave you, and He's never going to forsake you. That's the mystery of lordship. We can't even understand His love. Paul said His love is past finding out. This is why Paul spoke of this great mystery that was hidden from past ages and generations. What did he say? Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. This is why Jesus told the disciples, I'm not going to take you to those scriptures, I'm going to quote a little bit. He told the disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." So you know me in a physical sense. You've been with me for 3.5 years. But believe me, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, I'm going to come back to you, but you're not going to see me in a physical sense. But you're going to be aware of me, and you're going to be aware of my presence, and you're going to know that it's me talking into your life. You're going to know that it's me, because you will have met me and have fallen in love with me and on a different plane and on a different level. You're going to love me so much, it's going to be joy inexpressible and full of glory. Though you haven't seen me, you know what? Peter wrote later to the other Christians who hadn't ever seen Jesus. Though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. 1 Peter 1:8, I think it is. You don't see Him now, but you believe in Him. And you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You're going to have a knowing relationship with me. You're going to know that it's me speaking into your life. And what was the last recorded statement that Jesus made in Matthew 28 and 20? The very last thing that He said, the very last remark that He said. You know what it was. Go back and look at it. Matthew 28 and verse 20. The very last thing, the last half of that that Scripture says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There will never be a time that I'm not with you. I'll be with you in the dark moments. I'll be with you when you're on the mountaintop. I'll be with you in the valley. I will always, always be with you. And he made a promise, and he made a statement that's based upon something written that he spoke through the Isaiah prophet. I want you to tie them together. If you go to Isaiah 52, I'm fixing to bring it to a close. I only have a couple of scriptures. If you go to Isaiah 52 and listen, and the reason I want you to see this one is because Paul is quoting in Romans 10, he's quoting from this section of Isaiah's writings. Wow, kind of hard to find a starting place. Look at verse 6. Talking about this new covenant. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. My people will know my name, and they're going to know who's speaking to them. They're going to hear, here I am. I'm with you. How lovely on the mountains. You remember how Paul quoted that? How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. What I wanted you to see here was verse 6 especially, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day, this is what they're going to know, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. Now I want you to see that in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, please. Drop down to verse number 16 and verse 27. Verse 16 and then verse 27. Jesus said to the apostles, those who are listening to him, I have other sheep which are not of this fold, that is, not of the nation of Israel. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Do you see it? I believe the greatest need for Christians today is to learn to live in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, lordship is not just a confession, it's a life that we live. How do we say it in simple English? I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you. So when I don't know what to do, I know your love is gonna see me through. To supply my every need, I lean on you. Thank you, Jesus. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you. And when I don't know what to do, I know your love is gonna see me through. To supply my every need, I lean on you. That's lordship. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I don't make a cow kick her calf on it. That's good preaching, folks. I don't know another message. The only message I know. But I can preach it a million ways and it'll always end up with a man called Wonderful and his name is Jesus Christ. That's the message of Lordship. Very simple message. But it's profane. Pardon me. It's profound, not profane. It's profound. Heaven forbid that it be profane. That kind of reminds me of the lady a long, long time ago that testified in church. She said, I was out milking the cow steps on one's toe. Devil's been after me all day, bless his holy name. Well, she wasn't really wanting to bless the holy name of the devil, but she told my blessed. Sorry, scratch that. Lordship. It's Lordship of Jesus. We don't make it hard. Jesus didn't make it hard. He died for a purpose. God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. And we ought not to ever add any condition. Sure, there's the privilege of growing in faith and growing in knowledge and growing in understanding. But when it comes to salvation, folks, we've got one message. And the only way a person can be saved is to have to hear that message of the kingdom. Believe in the heart. God helps them to believe. You know, if you look at Acts 16 for a moment, I want to just drop this one on you. This shows the power of the gospel. You remember the story of Lydia. You remember the story of the Philippian jailer. This is all in the same chapter. But look at Acts 16 and verse 14. See, Paul and traveling around, they went out to the riverbank. There was not a synagogue in Philippi. And he went out to the riverside. And the reason for that, because that's where the Jews, they didn't have a synagogue. They would usually gather down around the river for their prayer time. And it says in verse 14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. That meant she was a Gentile, but they called, you know, she wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile, but worshiped God. Was listening, and listen to the rest of this. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. The power of that gospel message of Lordship. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit this word into your hands. As a reminder to these, your children, what salvation is about. Lord, there was so much more to be said, but we have time, other times, to speak more to that message. How that you're the God of the unexpected. You're the God who sends us to catch a fish and find a gold coin. You're the God that we should trust with everything in our hearts and not put you in a box or ever limit you in what you can do. You can speak to men's hearts, whether they're saved or not saved, and command them to do a thing, and they'll do it. You can raise up someone here and someone there. You're the one who weaves your body together in perfect conformity to your will. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.